here. I wanted us to do something. I didn't even ask, but I know it'll be okay. But Brother Dennis back there, he's so quiet and so humble, and he's been battling with cancer, and may have to change his treatment, he's saying, because of some effects he's having with his kidneys. And so Dennis is just a little tired. So Dennis, I want to ask about you to come down. Let's just gather and pray over Dennis today, and just God will strengthen him and encourage him, and wanted to touch him physically, but most of all, he'll just encourage him. Amen. And let anybody like to come down, and let's gather around Dennis and have a time of prayer with him. Then, Father, I just thank you for the gift of this day, and I thank you for the gift of Dennis. Lord, I'll never forget the day he was working in the balcony, and you brought us together, Lord, and gave his heart to Jesus, Amen. Lord, and I just thank you for that day and all the promises and all the hope that we have in that. I thank you for Dennis's friendship Amen. And his love. Lord, I thank you for his humble spirit. Lord, you know exactly what's going on in his body with his cancer. And Lord, you've touched and done so many things over the last few years. But Lord, in that process, as you've used doctors and treatments, and as you've even done miracles, Lord, it's been a work. And it's been a lot on Dennis. And so now, Lord, we know that we just pray for his kidneys and the effect that the treatments have been having, Lord. And now this thought of changing treatments, Lord, Dennis has already been weak and tired and just kind of tired of the process as anybody would be, and you know that, you understand that more than he does. There's nothing wrong with that, so I pray that you give him a peace,
yes.
Give him a feeling of your presence and just strengthen him for whatever the next step that you have, and Lord, give him wisdom and the doctor's wisdom, and you just touch him, Lord. We know that you could touch him now, and you could remove that cancer from him physically, but Lord, we know that you can do more. Lord, in the midst of our weakness, you tell us in the Bible. And so, Lord, we come acknowledging as he does, and we do his weakness, that you might give him strength and power. Most of all, let him feel your love. Let him feel our love, Lord. And we just give you Dennis, Lord, and you take care of him as only you can. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And thank you so much. We had just an awesome number out Wednesday night for prayer time. Thank y'all for coming. I hope you'll pray this year about God would work into your heart, first of all, but perhaps in your schedule if you're working, but he'd make some changes and be with us. God's kind of leading us in a special way toward in December. He began leading us and kind of meeting together and kind of just really seeking that power in prayer. We'd be looking at the power of God's Word. I would ask you, if you would, to pray for my family. My Aunt Vivian Smith went home to be with the Lord Friday. If you would pray for the family. It was small. It was just my dad and his brother Eugene was her husband. And so really, that's my mom now. But if you pray, tomorrow at 11 o'clock at Fairfield is going to be the service. Visitations before and the service at 11. I'm going to be preaching her funeral. Kay's going to be playing for the family. So if you'd pray for Kay and I as we go to serve and just pray for the family, I'd really appreciate that, especially tomorrow. It's always a great opportunity to share with family. But as I talk to them and ask them, to anybody want to share? And they're like, I don't think I can share. Many of you feel the same way. And I said, well, at my dad's funeral, I didn't want to share. I just want to be a son. And I didn't. And so it's I'll make it special for the family. So pray, if you would, for Kay and I as we go ministering for the family in that time. And like I said, our prayer list is long. So many needs and things. Continue to pray for Deborah. Deborah continues to be really up and down, tries to have a good day, then has a bad day. And continue to pray for Byron. And just so many needs, but God knows them all. Amen? God knows them all. I hope you brought your Bible. If you didn't, there should be one there in the pew in front of you can grab. But I want to invite us to turn back to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. Really, we're going to begin reading in verse 1, and then we'll skip down. Really going back to where we left off last Sunday, Exodus chapter 32. Would you stand with me if you're physically able to honor the reading of God's word? It's good, as wonderful as Christmas and New Year's is, and everything, it's wonderful to be back in God's house and see so many gathered today. Exodus chapter 32, beginning in verse 1, and then we'll skip down to verse 7. Verse 1 says, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said to him, 'Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what is become of him.'" And I don't think they care very much, do you? Verse 7 says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt.' And the Lord said unto Moses, 'I have seen this people, and behold, it's a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I'll make of thee a great nation.'" Now I want you to notice in verse 11, we've been talking about the power of God for the last few Sundays. And notice this statement at the very end of verse 11. Read with me. It says, "And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, 'Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which is brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand?'" There's a question mark. With great power and a mighty hand. Dear God, I pray that you'd help us understand more and more about your power, that you reveal it to us, that we'd understand it's unlimited, and Lord, that we'd realize how you choose and describe in your word to use that power, and that you'd remind us, Lord, that it still is the same unlimited power that we saw in the hand of the creation of us and the world. And Lord, that power we might be able to experience, but we may be able to understand it so that you'd be able to have the power that you desire to have over our lives. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Look at that in verse 11 again. Moses, does he need to remind God? He doesn't need to remind God, but God, often the scripture points out that us praying back the scripture, acknowledging the scripture to him, is the way God understands that we're listening and that we know what he's trying to tell us. But the point that's brought out is that Moses is acknowledging, he's seen, he's experienced, he understands that there was this great power. This great power that God had moved and taken his children, the children of Israel, and taken them out of slavery and bondage. Moses knows. He is recognized, even though the people have turned away from Moses, away from God, and are worshiping falsely. He acknowledges and he notices that it was only the great power of God that had delivered them. Regardless of the circumstances now and what they're doing, it was the great power of God, and that it was a mighty hand of God. So kind of a review, because like I said, we've had holidays, we've had weather, and so I want us to do just kind of a quick catch everybody up to date, okay, of where we've talked about since really January 1st, that first Sunday in January, because we began to talk about this power of God, and we looked at it on that first Sunday of the year in the context of really the creation, Genesis 1:1, the very beginning, and in fact, we started there realizing that when it said in the beginning, what that very statement was in those short words, it was a revealing of here's God. He is this mighty, all-powerful God, and his power is going to be used from this beginning of creation, the beginning of the Bible, throughout all the Bible, into all of our lives, and the whole point of looking at God's power is to realize that God's power is the same, and he wants us to be able to experience that power in his lives. There's nothing greater that can happen to you or I that we can notice that his power has not been diminished, no matter what our circumstances are, no matter what's going on in the world, but his power is the same and how he wants to use that power in our lives. Don't you desire this morning, I just desire that he'd take over, amen? That his power would just come into my mind, in my mouth, in my heart, in my life, in the family, just take over. Because I don't do that good a job at doing things the way that they really ought to be done. How about y'all? Amen? We fall so short, so we understand that part. So that's a revealing in the beginning of the Bible. As I look back at my notes, I notice how I mentioned to you that it is really revealing in the beginning. It points to the book of Revelation. There's an uncovering. So God's revealing himself in Genesis. He's uncovering throughout the Bible and then in Revelation. But I had looked up, remember the dictionary, about that idea of revelation, the uncovering. And I want to read that definition to you again, how the world looks at the uncovering of God and us understanding his power and how it fights so against that. The definition of this article about Revelation is really just used a religious text as its primary source, and it doesn't refer to any secondary sources or anything that would critically analyze them. It was on Wikipedia, that encyclopedia online. It says, please help improve this definition of Revelation by adding some reliable second sources and multiple points of view. That's our world wants to say, was diminish the power of God. Even words that we would use to describe revealing, unveiling, the world says, you don't need to define something or look at your life or a word by just one source. You need Mike's secondary sources that are reliable. You need multiple points of view. And that's the problem. We've got too many points of view. Amen. To find God's power, we've got to find what God's point of view is about our life and ourselves so he can take over. That's where the Bible takes us. And the Bible tells us that our righteousness, our best that we maybe could think we want to be, is as filthy rags. So we have no power, we have no ability apart from him, and he wants to reveal that. He wants to be the one source for us. We read in Psalm 63 that Sunday about how David cries out in Psalm 63, 1 and 2, oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee, and my soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory so as I've seen thee in the sanctuary. So David is crying out there. He wants to see the power of God. He's desperate for it. And that's kind of how I introduced the idea for this year. I heard the statement years ago said that I've seen the power of man and what the power of man can do. And I've seen the power of God. Oh, how I long to see that power of God work in my life more. And that's what God wants to do. We looked on another Sunday about that unlimited power, and it's seen there in Genesis where he steps out and he says that he created the heaven and the earth. You don't get any power any greater than that, any more unlimited than that. So that same power that we see there and we look around us and see the fruit of it, it's not been diminished anyway. And I made that statement that as God has really continued to use in my life as I study, I really believe what happens is it's my weakness. Our weakness together, our weaknesses physically and emotionally and spiritually, what they do, they mask the power of God in our mind. Amen? God's wanting to reveal his power, and we have all these things going on that keep masking the power, and we're not able to see it to move forward. In 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, kind of the idea that I was praying over Brother Dennis a few moments ago, the Bible says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I don't necessarily, Brother Tim was teaching our Sunday school lesson, and he was talking about the prodigal son, but he was focusing on the prodigal son's brother. And Tim relayed how when he first heard that story as a young age, how he really related and really thought that the brother that stayed home was right. That he really had been cheated. You know, that here's his brother goes out, wastes his inheritance, goes out, lives the life with harlots and spending money, and he's eating with the hogs, and he comes in, and his dad makes a party for him, and they're celebrating him coming home, and here comes the brother, been out in the field like he has every day, working with the servants, and all of a sudden he comes home, and there's a party going on. He says, Dad, you didn't ever give me a party, and I've been here faithfully serving you all this time. When God continually wants to continually tell us it's in our weakest times, it's the weak ones that God can give his power. Amen? So if we are trying to do it on our own, do it on our own strength, then we're not going to have available that power that he wants to give us. Last Sunday, we were looking at the idea of what he wants to do is, and he wants to create this power by creating his will in our lives. We won't, and I believe with all my heart, God has done it. God can do it. God can remove right now the cancer from Dennis's body. And that's how I would want God's power to be used. Amen? Every prayer request here, every need you have, everything, that's our prayer. We know God can do it. That's what we want. But we have to understand that we don't understand what God's will is so often for our lives and others. And we have to understand that His power has to move on us even in our prayers. In Mark 10:27, the Bible said, and Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. In Luke 1:37, the Bible says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. But Jesus kind of levels the playing ground in Matthew 22:29. It says, Jesus answered and said to them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. So when I see that, I realize that the same thing is true today. So often my lack of knowledge and understanding or application or willing to want to understand and apply those scriptures in my life makes me be in error, as Jesus was saying, and so I don't then experience the power of God. We're all in desperate need of the power of God. Unfortunately, we get reminders in different ways. About Tuesday, I think it was Tuesday, some part of the day, I felt like just a little stopped up. You know, like, oh man, you know, there's that hinge of a cold or something coming. And then I don't even know if I really had a cold, because I think colds just last a lot longer. But man, Wednesday, I just felt lousy. I just had some kind of virus, obviously, that was weakening my body. And Thursday, I felt lousy and began to feel a little better Thursday. And then Friday was feeling good. Man, I'm about to die. I hadn't held Adelaide in a week. So, Lord willing, here after lunch, I'm going to hold Adelaide. Amen. Shall pray about that. But, man, but I was reminded in praying and preaching about the power of God, maybe God just sent that virus to remind me, hey, look what can happen. Look how quickly you can go to having strength and feeling good and doing things. How quickly God has the ability to allow something to happen or to not happen in our lives, and immediately we begin to feel that physical effect. Amen? It's a vivid reminder of it. And Jesus wants to remind me that it's not in the physical that's so important, but it's the power spiritually to be able to face what's going on. I ended with we're kind of just reading, and we talked a little bit about the passage I just read, but here's why I wanted to begin this morning. It's this. The problem, and I mentioned this, like the problem that we find with understanding the power of God and experiencing the power of God and God having His way in our lives is that we forget about Him and His power. And we read this passage, it's the ultimate example in the Bible of forgetting. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, you look at these things, you're like, I cannot believe that these people could be so blind, so ignorant, so forgetting. How could they do that? I mean, they are in slavery, and the taskmasters are making them work harder and harder, and God comes in, and through miracle after miracle, plague after plague, He just beats down Pharaoh and the army, and he gets them headed toward the out of bondage, and they get to the Red Sea there, and Pharaoh and them done forgot about all the plagues, and they bearing down on them, and God divides the Red Sea, and they walk across, and you just go on and on. How can you forget that? Well, we do it every day. God gave us life. He gave us salvation. He does all. He gives us breath. He the sun comes up, and we all these powerful things are going on, and we forget. We have the same problem that they have. And the problem they experience, the same problem we experience, and that's this. Listen, their current circumstances were controlling them. Amen? Don't they have a, their current circumstances, Moses went up to get the word from God, and he'd been gone longer than they wanted him to, thought he should be gone. So all of a sudden, they just, I mean, their current circumstances have caused them basically just to really lose touch and go crazy. And every one of us in here this morning, we had those times. We've had big times in our lives where our current circumstances have caused us to make choices and do things that just really took us away from God and everything that made any common sense. And then in some ways, almost daily, don't you really believe, almost daily, I mean, I can get up feeling good, read my Bible, have a devotion, do all those things we talk about, you know, and the preacher says, well, do all those things, and before the day's out, I just have something happens, and it's like I forgot about God, and I forgot about His power. See if this makes you think. We hear something. We hear something, and the power of what we heard just all of a sudden takes control of everything. Doesn't that happen? We see something. We see something, and all of a sudden, what we just saw, whether it's in person or online, I mean, all of a sudden, it takes power and control over everything. We're not thinking about God. We're not thinking about his unlimited power. We're thinking about what we just saw. We're thinking about what we heard. It goes even further. We think something. You don't have to hear anything. You don't have to see anything. I mean, you can be riding down the road, sitting at your desk, be in school, minding your own business, and all of a sudden, out of somewhere, comes this thought. And that thought hits our minds, and the power of that thought, Angie, is just consuming everything about us. I mean, we forgot everything that we learned in Bible school and Sunday school and church and everything. I mean, it's just overwhelming. So it tells us really there's something that is happening in our lives that is really, we have the same problem that we continually just forget. We forget about his power. We want something. You know, I mean, a desire for something. I remember my dad telling me years ago, he said, son, I can be very creative in getting things I want. He was telling me in the context I was wanting something, and he's giving that fatherly wisdom. He didn't even tell me no. But that's all he had to say, and I continually hear that in my mind, you know. And that's what happens. We want something, and the power of that desire, and listen, when we're seeing these things, and we're thinking these things, and we're wanting these things, or something happens, or something doesn't happen, there's these competing powers. Now, one is unlimited, the power of God, the power we see in creation, the power that we experience gives us life. And then the other power is extremely limited. And it's the power of Satan, the prince of the air, but it is there. But why in the world is it so often we fall prey to that? And I think the answer comes in this. And this is the second thing. We saw how he wants to have his will and way, and we see we forget. But I think one of the main reasons we have a problem with this power and we forget is fear. But more importantly, sudden fear. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. And we'll look at verses 25 and 26. I want you to see this. There's this statement about sudden fear. The Bible talks often of fear. As you're turning there to Proverbs 3:25, I want to remind you that there is nowhere in the Bible that says that you'll not have fear. There's a great decal. I love the font. I see it in a lot of trucks, a lot of places. It says no fear. Doesn't say that in the Bible. Bible says fear not. Bible acknowledges we're going to have fear, but then by experiencing his power and following him, we can work through it. But there's nowhere that you get saved or you get some point with God that you don't have fear anymore. If you don't have fear anymore, you're just stupid. Amen? They ain't nothing spiritual about it. You know, and so, you know, you might need to get a new decal. I hope to mess you up there, but there's no such biblical thing as no fear. That's just a lie. But look in Proverbs 3:25. It says, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. I'll never forget it wasn't the first time I read it, I'm sure, but it's the first time that God really grabbed me, I think, with his power that came in the Word. It was one New Year's Eve, and we had no plans that New Year's Eve, and everyone had either gone to sleep on the couch or gone to bed, and I was home alone, and I went to my desk, and I was just reading the Bible. I said, I'm just going to read the Bible and kind of pray in the New Year. And all of a sudden, for some reason, God leads me to this verse. I read this passage, and I'm thinking, oh, Lord, that must be for this year. Amen? You're reminding me to be not afraid of sudden fear. And think about that. Be not afraid of sudden fear. Fear is going to really do one of two things. Fear in our lives, any kind of fear, and especially sudden fear, will cause us to either forget about the power of God or it will force us to be driven toward that power. Amen? The problem that we need to note here is what God is saying, the way he says that, and he says, don't fear sudden fear. It's a promise. He's saying sudden fear is coming. It's a fact. So for him to tell us not to fear it, he's laying out, hey, it's coming. There are going to be times in your life where suddenly you hear something, you see something, you want something, that a sudden fear can come. So God is describing, he says, you need my power. And the way you'll not forget my power is I want to tell you in advance, be prepared. It's a fact of life. It's coming. But what he wants us to understand is that we don't have to be afraid of the coming things that are coming, that coming fear. He's with us. His power remembers the same every day as it was in the beginning. And he wants to give us a confidence that it's going to be his power that'll lead us through. But we need to understand, y'all, that's so important that God wants us to know that there's times of sudden fear coming. Now think about it. I'm telling you, I've never had the cancer diagnosis, but I've gone to the doctor and had those scans and x-rays and had a diagnosis that suddenly I was afraid of what he just told me. Man, because all of a sudden this is what's going on. This is going to require surgery. That's a sudden fear that rushes over. Amen. Oftentimes at night, in the middle of the night, a little less now when you got a baby, you don't sleep in the family, but most of the times at night when the phone rings, sudden fear comes. Randy, amen? You know, if the phone rings late at night, there's this sudden fear that come over us. And what God is saying is we can be so trapped into what's going on in our lives is we can be afraid of what is coming next, of a sudden fear of changing life so much that it will blind us to his power. It'll make us forget about his power. It'll weaken us. It'll cause us to change how we live. Amen? So basically what he's saying is the way you'll not forget my power and understand is acknowledge that it's coming, and we don't know how it's coming. It's there, but he doesn't want us to fear in advance. I have an aunt that just is afraid of a lot of different things, and one of the things, and I know it's not that silly, even though it didn't happen, there's a little bit of creek, a little know-nothing creek behind her house, and she fears all the time that that creek's going to rise up and flood everything out. It's never happened. Don't think it's an error would happen, but she fears the sudden fear of a flood all the time. And for all of us, I think we have things that we are afraid might happen. I remember years ago, older gentleman, his mind was as sharp as a tack the whole time I knew him, until the time he died. But he had fear. He had fear of a sudden fear that he might get Alzheimer's or dementia sometime. It was every time I went to see Miss Margaret, he would talk about that. And I continually said he was getting older and older. I said, I don't think you're going to have that problem. But he had that fear. So oftentimes it's just fear that drives us to totally be distracted about his power. And Satan does that. Amen? So God wants to have a confidence in his power. And listen, not in our power. Amen? Not in the power of family power or your friend's power or a powerful person's power. We're so quick in this world. Somebody, this person can help me. They've got money. They've got power. They've got influence. They've got something going on. Not the power of knowledge or the power of our physical strength or ability. Not the power of money or position. Really, in 2 Timothy 1 and 6 through 8, listen to this. The Bible says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by putting on of my hands. Turn there, in fact. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. Let's look at this a little bit. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. 2 Timothy 1, 6 says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Be not thou ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor be his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. What powerful verses. There's a reminder here that's being given. And look at verse 7. God, it says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear. Connects to the same Proverbs pattern. God, you're going to have fear. Amen? So listen, let me take some pressure off. Quit trying to get to a point in the life that you're not afraid of anything. And men, if you go around now and say that you're not afraid of anything, I promise you there's two that are listening. God is listening to you say that, and just said in other verses that your weakness is how he'll give you strength. And Satan is listening. I will promise you, it may not happen today, this week, or coming on, but you live a lifestyle of going around saying you don't fear anything, or if you don't say it, act like you don't, you're going to be in trouble most likely by both God and Satan, amen? You can't do that, man or woman, but we can't, because he says it is something, but he says the reminder is this. He said, I don't give you a spirit of fear. So you can't, he said, I don't give you, if you've got the spirit that you're afraid of everything that's going on or might happen, he says, that's not the spirit I gave you. The world gave you that came from sin, from self, and from Satan. I didn't give you that spirit of fear. He doesn't want us to be in fear because it says he wants to give us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. So that comes to the third thing that I wanted to talk about, the unlimited power. It's simply this. Listen, he wants to have faith in the power that's inside us. And remember, it's the same power that created all of everything in Genesis, all the world and the heavens and all of us, but what he's interested is that we'll just simply have faith in the power that comes to live inside of us through the Spirit of God and Jesus Christ. Turn me to Matthew 17. In Matthew 17 and verse 14, and Matthew 17, 14 through 21, as we find our way there, and you're going to beat me because I'm telling you to turn, and I'm not turning. Amen. Matthew 17, 14 through 21. Listen to the word of God. He plants this, in talking of his seed, he plants the seed in us, how we can have that power inside of us. Matthew 17, beginning verse 14. The Bible says, And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic, sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. And then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from the very hour. And then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said to them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Howbeit this kind goeth out, but by prayer and fasting. Jesus Christ is making a statement there that power, that the power he wants you to focus on, the power he wants you to remind you that you've got, that maybe you've forgotten, just like the children of Israel. He's saying it's a power that'll allow you to do the impossible. Now, some of you are like me, you're saying, I believe what God says. And if I just had that much faith, the tiny mustard seed, I could say this mountain be moved over here. Well, I just like to move myself from some thought process or situation over to another, and that ain't happening. Or I'd like to move some other person or something. So God, what's going on? And what God wants us to understand, y'all, is in the reality that faith in his power is that we want the power that he wants us to have. See, the problem is this. God has a plan for the power that we need, not the power we want. Amen? That's God's whole focus is totally different. Like you and I, man, God, just create a new kidney in that disease. Create a new lung. I mean, God, just create me a new marriage. God, just wipe me and Sandra off and just pull your power in our lives. And God, do something with your power. That's not what he talks about. He says that he has a power that we need every moment, a power big enough to move more than a mountain. He says in Romans 15, 13, Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing that you may abound through the power of the Holy Ghost. But notice what he's saying there. It mentions nothing physically. God's plan for his power, in Romans 15, 13, it says fill up. We're always, something always trying to fill us up, amen? But he's saying what he wants, the focus is not on something externally. It's not on our physical problems or our physical needs. It's on internal. He says he wants to fill us with joy and peace and hope. That's the power. So often what we're wanting and God is wanting to provide are totally different. And that's how God understands. God, he says, I'm telling you, because it takes far more power. It takes an impossible power. With a lot of the circumstances you're dealing with now, or that we may face in the coming days, it takes a lot more power to have joy and peace and hope than it does to get up or answer the right question or make the right decision or to see something really change. See, so often, why we're so afraid of what we've done or what we haven't done, and all that sudden fear comes on us. And, oh, but preacher, you don't understand. You know, it's not looking good. This is going to happen physically. I just see it coming. I see this financial trouble coming. You just don't understand what's going on in my mind. I don't think I can make it one day. God, if God doesn't come through, and we keep looking for some physical relief, and we want some financial relief, and we want something to come, when God continually says, that's not what the real power is. The real power is that I promise you that if you'll just humble before me and just continue to depend upon me, I'll give you joy amidst all that's going on. I'll give you peace And there's no greater price. See, he talks about soul strength and our soul's health and purpose, not physical. Y'all, just like sudden fear is always going to come, in Romans, when it says he wants to fill us, there's always attacks coming. Amen? You had some kind of attack this week. Some physical attack, some emotional attack, some family attack, some work attack. One of the first requests in Sunday school this morning, please pray for me and our coworkers at work, what's going on. I mean, we're continually being attacked. And in those attacks, and continue, that's what's happened to the children of Israel. And they had the same problem. They kept forgetting about the power of God. And God says, listen, my power is not that I'm probably going to move that mountain in most cases, but I'm going to give you a peace and a joy and a hope and a strength just to keep climbing. Just keep climbing. So don't forget that. You can count on the power that God knows you need, but so often it's not the power we want. Shouldn't change just praying and asking for it. God, move that mountain. But God, more importantly, as that song says, I can't even name the song, God, you know, move me. Move me instead. Would you bow with me, every head closed, every eye bowed? Your greatest need this morning. None of this power, none of this peace, none of this love or hope is available apart from Jesus Christ. And there's no greater need that you have today if you've never had a place and a time when you surrendered your life and wholeheartedly surrendered and gave your life to Jesus. You need to do that today. You may have come to church a lot. You may have been baptized. You may be a church member. You may be a very good man, boy, or girl, or woman. But you really never surrendered. And you need that power. It may have already happened. Or there's a sudden fear coming this week that you don't see out there. And you're going to need his power. And it's available. So I encourage you to come. Give your heart to Jesus Christ. How about it, Christian? You like me so often that I'm like the children of Israel. I just forget about him and about his unlimited power. And I see things, I hear things, and it has too much power in my lives. Maybe you come to the altar and just lay some of those things down. Give him back the power. Let him fill you with a joy and a peace and a hope that will take care of the circumstances. Maybe coming and God wants you to be part of our family, become involved and served and take that step of commitment, then we open our doors. Whatever God's put on your heart this morning, be obedient to him. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Jessica, okay.
Turn to page 488, Just As I Am.